do 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 movies. Hey there, movie fans.
It's spooky season movies. Ooh. For the spooky fans.
That's right. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this? There's monsters everywhere.
Yeah. No, that's a topical.
My kids
movie.
Watched it tonight. It was awesome.
It's the 30th anniversary.
We didn't go to the theater, though.
No.
I will say, though, it is dated. We've done it for the podcast.
Oh, yeah. It's still fun, but, you know, there's some things.
Good
like, it
segue,
gets a little...
though. We're watching a movie tonight that will be very dated.
This is super dated. This
like a date movie? The... Like your wife would love it?
I think this is the oldest movie we've had on the podcast.
Not today, Satan.
Okay.
I'm Pete, by the way.
I'm Brian.
I'm Neil.
And we are three dads navigating these films of our youth and tonight's holiday escapade, twofer movie extravaganza.
Yeah, this is a double feature for the Halloween funtacular time that we are about to embark upon.
I can't wait.
That's right. We couldn't fit it all in one movie, so we had to play two.
Yes. So the first one we're going to watch is one I got to pick. Since I hate scary movies, I figured I'd go to a classic that would probably not be scary when I rewatch it, and Night of the Living Dead. Good old George Romero.
Now, do you remember the Mr. Rogers tie-in?
No. I've seen this movie exactly one time, and it was for film school in college.
Mr. Rogers is actually the zombie that tears someone's arm off and beats him to death with it.
No.
Fred Rogers?
No, I'm just kidding. George Romero was one of the lead cameramen for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
That
was his day job.
You told me that like 2 days ago, and I forgot.
It was his day job, and he went to make this movie with Mr. Rogers' permission. He showed it to him, and Mr. Rogers thought it was fantastic.
George, I just think that you're just really special with these ideas and imagination. Mm-hmm. I love you.
Yep. That's exactly what he said, and the way he said it, too.
Probably. Yeah, no doubt.
And I'm proud of you, Pete.
And I'm proud of you. Because we all have special talents.
Well, this was the movie that kicked off the zombie genre.
Every
zombie movie that everybody has watched all the way up to The Walking Dead can thank Night of the Living Dead for kicking it off. And
that's right.
I wonder if we're going to be able to notice any, like, stylistic or camera shot choices that have become a staple through the years. Because this movie was 1968, so that's 55 years ago.
But it's also like the Graduate era. So this is like a low budget guerrilla filmmaking type thing. And I think it shows.
I recently saw this and
have,
I
like,
can't
the,
remember
why. What's the witches movie?
Oh, the Blair Witch.
Blair Witch. Is it going to be like that?
It's going to be a lot of boogers.
No, it's pretty, like, it's well shot, yeah. But I think they wanted to have that intensity of it feeling like you're right in the action. So it's a little shaky.
That's right.
It's a little up close.
Well,
it's a little rough.
And you talk about it being influential, and the first thing that comes to mind when you say that is Texas Chainsaw Massacre did a very similar thing. It started
yes.
out with an interview, and it kind of has this documentary style to it, which I think lent itself to being very scary. In the 50s, they kind of did monster movies where they didn't necessarily show you the monsters. This one, they show you a lot of monsters, and they make it feel like it's a news story.
And I think, too, that we saw a original, like, black and white Bela Lugosi. It was stage productions that were filmed, and this became more like you're part of the action. This isn't you're watching
Bela
Lugosi on a big set, you know, like chew scenery. You're watching real people experiencing true horror.
So it was basically a new experience for moviegoers, getting this thrill, you know, the thriller genre, the slasher, the driving up the realism and the tension. So I'm kind of excited to see it. I'm also skeptical that I'm going to be scared.
Yeah, I don't...
Like, the bar's low,
honest. What the big takeaway was that much like The Walking Dead and other zombies, it's not necessarily... The zombies, the idea of the dead clamoring and, like, breaking in and overrunning you is there, but it's really other people.
Yeah, the danger is other people.
You know, it's you know, letting someone infected in your midst, having to trust a stranger, suddenly being betrayed,
Salem witch trials?
Yeah.
Which one of them were actually witches? Spoiler, none of them!
Well, it's even the same thing you see with The Mist with Stephen King, where you have everybody holed up in a supermarket, you know, mm-hmm. as a mist full of creatures and monsters lurk outside, and how it's not what's outside that's terrifying, but how people react inside.
What's weird is just tonight, my son, for the first time, got to read the definition for a trope. And we figured out, like, there's a lot of very similar tropes as we go forward this. Are you ready to get some ice cream?
Yeah.
I think, we got three questions. Neil, three. Go. No pressure. Number one.
That's right. Does the movie hold up?
Well, that's one. Number two.
Should it be remade, rebooted, recycled, or removed from
number
the
Number three. Hurry up! Faster!
And when are we going to force our children to watch them?
As?
Pleasure.
Well, that's a choice.
Okay, Hellraiser.
Instead of conventional pornography?
Oh, my God. That's...
That's definitely not going to be this one, I hope.
Don't want...
I may have dropped the ball here.
Well, you shot from the hip, and not everyone's going to land.
Pleasure or pain.
I heard you say ice cream, and I was halfway out the door. I'm so sorry, guys.
All right, let's get to this. We'll be right up. Are we going to say what movie we're watching after this, or are we going to save that for the flip?
Oh, we'll save that, I think, for the next one.
Well, but it's in the title when I upload it, so they're going to have
to know. Oh, touche. Well, it's going to be Neil's pick, which is...
Black Christmas.
Which I feel like also applies to the name of, like, other genres of movies.
That's right.
So, is this the sequel to Blackula?
It's actually like going to Lowe's in October.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Terrifying.
Where are there so many Christmas decorations?
They're already out.
Ooh.
Oh, ho, ho.
All right, guys. We'll see you. Do, 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 do.
And we're back.
And we're back.
They're back, Barbara.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
They're coming to take me away, haha. They're coming to take me away.
What's happening? What's happening?
I've never seen a blonde pinball around a scene.
No. I'm actually still kind of shocked by the end of that movie. I'd forgotten exactly what happened, and it's kind of shocking.
Right? It's a it's a bit of a Debbie Downer.
I'm not scared, but it hits you really hard.
Yeah. And you were saying it. You're like, I don't know. Remember what happened? I feel like he's gonna get it.
Uh huh. Uh-huh. All right. Well.
Well. So, welcome back, movie fans. That was
intense.
No. No, it wasn't intense. I didn't feel it was intense. As I yawn.
I felt that it was intense for the main character.
Oh,
who had to
Ben.
Carry that movie.
Poor Ben. Herculean. Atlean.
His character did, but I thought the acting was great, especially kind of like the worthless older dad type.
Yep.
You kind of had that 12 Angry Men thing of people arguing, and you're like, would you stop arguing like children and just do something?
Like, at least someone's trying to do something. Well, I think it's a great example. There's always somebody, like when someone's doing something,
yeah.
When someone's trying to make progress, there's always that one person who is trying to stand in their way being, why are you doing this?
Except well, in this particular movie, it was literally every other character in that building.
There was... Mm-hmm. What state were they in? Did we ever find out where they were? Alabama? Georgia? Mississippi?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania?
I think it was... Yeah, I think
or
it was
Texas.
Pennsylvania.
Like
Texas? Somehow, Ben found like the six most worthless people in
don't
the entire
don't you
country.
Don't dare leave Karen out of this. Seven worthless people.
Oh, sorry. Like, everybody was terrible except for Ben.
Yeah.
Poor Ben. And we all knew Ben, one of these kids, was not like the others.
Mm-mm. Well, he was hardworking and innovative and driven, and everyone else was literally an anchor holding him down.
Yep.
Yes.
And despite all of that... it got him nowhere.
Yeah. Got him
absolutely
nowhere. Not only did he survive the onslaught and was like, is that other human beings possibly coming to rescue me? Let me get closer to this window to find out. I'm dead.
Yep.
Super depressing.
Super.
Well, two-sentence synopsis.
Wait, two-sentence synopsis.
I'll go first.
Go ahead, Pete.
In a world where the dead rise from their graves to feed upon human flesh comes a tale so innovative that our protagonist is also... Ah, shit, I lost it. I lost it. That's
well,
how
you,
I feel.
You were on a roll.
I was on a roll, but I lost it. I tried to... Usually I go last in these things, and... I'm not honestly like it was great. Let me finish up. We'll fix this in post. Hashtag not fixing it in post.
Why break our non-editing streak now?
You guys go ahead and come back to me.
Right? Fuck. Super easy. Night of Living Dead. It's a zombie movie, but the one character knows what he's doing is constantly sandbagged by everyone else.
Yeah, that's where I wanted to go with this.
The zombies were more successful in working together than the humans.
I would say wrong about that.
Yeah, they had a singular purpose.
They were like, they teamed up, they knew how to use tools, they could communicate, they were all driven for one purpose, and they worked together.
Tirelessly.
They were pretty well dressed, except for the naked chick.
Yeah, one random naked butt.
Yep.
Never saw it again.
How provocative.
For the time, for sure.
Neil, you have two sentences?
Night of the Living Dead. When you're playing a sport and both teams suck... Nobody wins.
Ooh, I like that. I really still have nothing. I'm gonna just I'm giving myself a mulligan tonight.
That's okay. It was a really I enjoyed the movie. It was great acting. I thought that there was some fun effects.
I can see why I watched this in film class.
Yeah, the black and white was a really nice medium to sell this. And even the horrible, stupid, worthless people were interesting characters.
Nope, not Barbara.
Oh, no, Barbara was terrible, but I think that was supposed to be the
point.
Well,
she's a foil, though. She's a foil for Ben. And she was a very good foil, an effective foil for Ben.
For literally everyone. So Tom's foil was Judy? Or what was Judy's foil? The fact that she cared about Tom? I'm just so scared for my folks. I just want to call them on the telephone.
Well, I think they wanted to get like a cross cut of a lot of different types of people. And then what would be, like, their Achilles heel, you know?
Yeah.
She didn't want to be alone. She immediately jumped out to go follow her boyfriend. Her boyfriend was kind of an idiot with splashing gasoline everywhere. You know, the father is concerned about his family, but he has to be right. He has to be argumentative. If someone says the sky's blue, then the sky has to be gray. Like,
oh, the contrarian. We all know someone like that.
And if he's not in charge, then, you know...
But ultimately a coward.
Yeah, it's a conspiracy. And then... Even his wife, who capitulates to the fact that she's hitched her wagon to her husband. And then, you know, Barbara, who just, you know...
Wrong place, wrong time, traumatized, can't do a damn thing.
Yeah, like, crumples like origami.
Yeah, the wife couldn't accept the fact their daughter was a zombie. The husband couldn't accept the fact he was a piece of shit. I guess Barbara couldn't accept the fact that...
this was happening.
That without Johnny, she had no identity whatsoever.
And Ben's problem is that he didn't know how to cut bait.
And he had nowhere to go. He really didn't.
Oh, that's kind of Ben's foil is the fact is, I was just trying to get help. Just wanted to get some gasoline.
He was such a good person, too. He's like, I will carry this girl for miles, even though all of you are saying it's impossible. Yeah. I will board up the entire house, even though you're just sitting there giving me twigs and then going catatonic on a couch.
Not only that, but then like the people hiding in the basement were like, he's like, where were you? We didn't know what was going on up here. Really? I just boarded this. I could have used help.
Yeah, but it's done now, so why argue about who did all the work? It's done now.
Go team.
Go team us.
Ugh.
So that's an interesting thing. There was really no character progression at all. Everyone was who they were the entire time, even when you thought they were going to be better.
Nope.
Well,
absolutely not.
Do you really think someone's going to suddenly have a character change in like 2 hours? Like this whole movie takes place almost in real time.
No, it does not.
Well, it goes over the course of a night.
Yeah. One night. Yeah, it goes from sunset because Barbara and Johnny got out of the cemetery pretty much in the late afternoon, right? And then they
you're
got
right.
to
it's
the
like
house
12 hours.
I know, but that's why it's almost real time. Yeah. Like the only time things go away is like when someone's asleep and then it's like
cut scene missing.
Yeah, it's a very you're not gonna have someone be like, you know what? I've really grown a lot.
I wanted to see more of those news reports, honestly.
Yeah. The news reports were fantastic.
They were
great.
Like that's something that we should all model our news reporting after. And now, coming in from the central office in Washington, D.C.
Well, it used to be. Like, remember, it was a time where, like, when you heard it in the news, it was something that was coming direct from a source, verified, and is now given to you as fact.
Yeah.
And well, now, I think everything that I hear on TV is fact, Brian.
Didn't they even say that? It's like, well, it's on TV. It must be true. Wasn't that
a line?
Yeah,
there was a line that was a lot like that. Yeah.
I saw it on the TV. It must have happened. All right. Well,
so overall, are we going to say this one gets a thumbs up for the holding up?
Wow, I thoroughly loved it.
I think for what it was aiming to do, it did it really well, and it still works really well.
Yeah. Not only that, it sparked the entire genre.
Which I guess really goes right into question two. Should it be? They did make a remake in the 80s, and we have seen many sequels
so
and tributes.
You could argue that the number of homages and remakes, sequels, prequels, all of the things that have been done for this movie, why not? Let's do it again. It's
Even George Romero did it again. You know, he did Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead. I mean, he did this a number of times.
Yeah.
And then, what was it, like, World of the Dead, I think, came out in 2006?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a formula that works.
Yeah.
You know,
I would say this particular movie with this just very simple storyline and the same characters I'd like to see done again. Because I don't think... That one was that the 1980s same
thing. It was they did some changes. There were some variations. I think there was some more social commentary. It was a little more like overt with the social commentary, but
this was pretty overt.
No, this was even
well. This was pretty overt.
They read like they dumbed it down. While this was a lovely hotel level painting you see in a room, they used finger paints.
Fair.
Kind of.
Well, you know.
But I
you look at the, you know, you look at the voting demographic these days, and you can understand why.
I would happily see like this as a modern day reboot. Now, I just wouldn't want it to be like, you know. I think what makes this movie great is not the zombies and the gore, but again the people and the interactions and.
Even the music was very simple, straightforward. It's not really overdone with a lot of just layering. Right.
And you were right, Neil, like the grittiness and everything of it really did lend to the, you know, the guerrilla film tactics.
I really enjoyed it.
To a sense of in the moment, of realism.
Yeah, I think they made absolutely the most of what they had to work with.
They didn't have a lot, that's for sure.
Now, here's the hard question. Question three for me is hard because... I appreciate this. I didn't watch this until I was much older.
Yeah.
Like college, maybe.
Oh, it was college, for sure. I took a film class, and it was like one of the five
I would not
I
have cared much.
It was like
12.
This, The Red Balloon, it was like Metropolis. It was a bunch of like movies that I was made to watch that year.
Yeah. Right. But I think I would have a hard time with the kids watching it just because I don't think they would enjoy it quite as much. They would either be like, you know, well, this is sort of dull, or like, I don't know, they'd start, I think, wandering off. Or they'd be like, I just watched The Walking Dead. That's pretty cool. This is a little lame.
Well, my guys are still very scared of anything, quote unquote, scary, although they just watched Pirates of the Caribbean today.
That's a good one. If they could watch, I feel like they're not going to
get exactly, but the thing is, though, the idea of zombies, the idea of things rising from the dead that look like people, not pirates on a ship in the 1700s.
Right.
There's a lot more immediacy and, you know, personal connection to, like, this shit could go sideways tomorrow.
Well, and I will tell you that a fresh body definitely looks like it could come alive at any moment.
That is true. Right.
So, you know, like, there's always that chance, like, is today the day? Is today the day?
The fact that you have such knowledge of this just fills me with such joy. And we have, you know, it's like, thankfully, the millions of podcast listeners know from previous episodes what Brian does for a living. So it's not surprising, of course, but, you know.
Yeah.
I sell rugs.
I hope my kids see this movie someday. There are some movies where we say, they don't ever need to see that. I hope they see this someday.
I think that they could appreciate it with, much like, because again,
late teenage, early.
This
like,
movie's ancient.
Whenever, but this deserves to be seen.
Yeah, and we still enjoyed it. I can't imagine why
I was locked
our
in,
kids
you know?
Wouldn't like it at some point.
I'm a little worried about the next one. Are we gonna jump right into it from here?
We gotta go right to here. We got all the
So names. if you haven't heard of Black Christmas before, I can't blame you. It's a little under the radar.
So I have not, for the record. Except for when you mentioned it last week.
I was kind of hoping to find one you guys hadn't seen. I thought of some others that would have been fun, but I wanted to try and get one that you hadn't seen before.
Life Force.
So this is a movie that was made by Bob Clark, who did another famous Christmas movie called A Christmas Story. That everyone has probably seen 5 million times on TBS.
Yes.
Only once.
Fantastic movie.
He also made that movie, but early in his career, he made horror movies. In 1972, he made one called, I think, Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things.
Why does that sound familiar?
And then in 1974, he made two horror movies.
Children still shouldn't play with dead things.
Exactly. Still playing.
Or dead things will play with children.
Yeah, exactly. Totally different kind of movie. So in 1974, he made two movies, both really interesting movies. One is called Death Dream, and it's a post-Vietnam movie, which I was tempted to do, but I thought it might just be not quite the uplifting thing that we would close out the night with. So I went with Black Christmas instead.
Sweet. Which sounds like you're deceiving us.
Though I gotta admit, like, I was talking to my coworkers. I'm like, oh, we're seeing two movies, like, and I was like, oh, and some sort of Christmas horror movie. And my coworker's like, Black Christmas? I was like, as a matter of fact, yes. So... People
Wait,
have
Cindy
seen it.
Cindy seen it?
No. This was Diana.
Oh, my.
I didn't get a chance to pick Cindy's
Interesting.
Brain.
Well, this is what I think a lot of people consider the first slasher movie, at least come out of North America. And
Black Christmas.
Yeah. And it even has some precursors to things like Scream in it.
Mm.
And this was done, speaking of the handheld camera that was in Night of the Living Dead... This predates the Steadicam, which they invented for The Shining, but very similar ideas were used in this movie, I think, to pretty good effect. So we'll have to see what you guys think after you watch it.
Oh, I'm excited.
Since I don't know anything about it, we're...
Yeah, normally we'd be like, oh, I remember, but nope.
Got
two
nothing.
Out of three dads have not seen it, so we're going to be fresh.
All right, let's get right to it, and we'll be back in a jiffy. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, Black Christmas.
Black Christmas, you ripped out my heart, and the very next day, I came back alive, wanting to eat your brains, and I'll keep going till Pete presses the button.
It's actually Isaac Hayes that sings that in this movie.
Oh, that's amazing.
And we're back.
Did everyone survive? Are we all here?
Well, we're here, Christmas, but I feel like most people in this movie aren't going to turn out so good.
Uh-uh. It did not turn out well for a lot of people.
Everyone, really. Mm-hmm.
But unlike the other movie, this was more like 10 Little Indians. Like, this is very Agatha Christie, where that was just
yes.
Mm-hmm. A bunch of wasted space and then the one good person getting hosed.
Yeah. So do you guys think this was a slasher movie? Does this count?
Yeah, this was 100% a slasher.
Well, this was... It was the proto-slasher movie. It didn't quite do the slashing. It had... there was death by unicorn horn.
Except you had, like, a killer going around and, like, murdering people and, like, doing weird things to their bodies. This was, like, Friday the 13th.
When I hear slasher movie, though, I think of the gore part of it. Like, in Friday the 13th, Kevin Bacon's death, like, getting, like...
The arrow through the throat?
Yeah, from beneath. And, you know, it was like a lot more blood. This one really only had that at the end with Margot Kidder's death. And then they, like, redid the McHenry sisters scene from the picture, like, as the two bodies, Beth.
Right.
Barb and Blythe? No.
Barb and Phil and Miss Mack.
Phil, that's what it was.
Yeah. Well, actually, Night of the Living Dead had more gore in it than this
Absolutely.
Did.
Like, it was shocking, like, Night of the Living Dead had more gore than this movie, but I felt that the tension was really good for this. I thought the guy was super creepy.
Very creepy.
You never see him, but, like, you hear him, and, like, it's almost demonic and crazy and a little...
I really did enjoy the bait and switch at the end.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, it wasn't Peter... He was crazy. Apparently, he told someone.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
It, you know, the little bait and switch, like the red herring. Oh, well, they did it.
Although, did he kill Barb? Maybe, he turned into a killer, but he wasn't the one they were looking for.
There's more than one.
Maybe it was Chris.
The hockey player. Fucking yeah. hockey players.
Well, but he was like, he left the house with the police and he
was... Yeah. I think it was just some random psycho out of nowhere who's like in the attic and just playing all sorts of fun little sick games with everyone.
Kind of like Evil Dead.
Yeah, was this also the first, you know, they're inside the building.
That's what I was trying to figure out. Like, that's so classic. I mean, that's one of the traditional urban legends about the call, you know, babysitter and the calls coming from inside the house, get out.
Right.
Amityville horror.
It is the house.
Mm-hmm.
Get out.
I think this movie did a lot of stuff. If not first, you know, like, it was definitely the first time that an American audience would have seen it.
Right.
Yeah. And again, like, I think what makes it really cool is that they had no money. So, like, well, how do we make this? How do we work this? How do we make this work with absolutely no budget? We can't make a lot of special effects. We can't, you know, bring in anything crazy.
Well, right, which they didn't. Yeah. But I thought it was very well made. I mean, it looked great.
Honestly, the most expensive part of the filming was those scenes in the telephone company getting access to the halls of switching.
Man, isn't that crazy?
That was like, yeah, it took them like $30,000. So it was just a Ma Bell, you know? It's like,
Yeah.
I feel like, though, that almost needed explaining because we had an idea what that was supposed to be showing, like all the relays and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you our kids would be like, what is that?
Yeah.
What is he doing?
Why didn't they just hit share location?
Well, they were using rotary phones too, weren't they? So,
yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
You know. A lot of questions and confusion going on.
Yeah.
Why did we say dial someone's number, kids?
Right. But it was very restrained too. Like you say, there wasn't the gore. They didn't even show the dead kid in the park. They just show people's reactions, which I think kind of made the suspense. There was never a release valve for that suspense. It just kind of kept building and building and building.
Like when Mama Mac or Mrs. Mac discovers the first dead body in the attic, and just the recognition and horror, the pan back to the shrink wrap over the face, you know, eerie and suspenseful. Like just the constant turning of the screw.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no... And even when you see Peter... as a neurotic musician doing his... Okay, don't look at me that way right now.
Terrible music.
Peter being a neurotic musician is not a sentence I want to be saying myself.
Well, that for me was one of the scenes I'm like, you mean to tell me this guy is supposed to be like some sort of high-end pianist and he's playing this shittily? Like someone long ago should have told him, you know, maybe you should look into doing something else with your life, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he was a guy that was about ready to snap.
Have you tried radiology? Honestly, yeah, right. You can be in a dark room and never have to talk to anyone.
Let's see.
So I think this held up. as far as, like, it wasn't scary. You know, a lot of these older ones, I'm always kind of nervous that I'm going to get some sort of, like, childhood triggering thing.
Well,
it wasn't scary.
It's because, on the other hand, though, I think that it's not scary for us because it's very specific, you know, a call coming inside the house, like vulnerable.
I ain't
women.
No sorority girl.
Yeah, we're not necessarily like the target of like, oh yeah, I'm vulnerable to like, but we've all been in a house where like you're alone and you're like, am I alone? What if I'm not alone? What's that creaking noise? I think there's a lot here that it's just maybe not triggering for some, but I think that there's a lot of really basic fears in
Coco. And you said it was rebooted, which it was not good.
I bet they went too hard into the slasher and gore.
Actually, it was PG-13 when they rebooted it.
Oh, my. That's your first problem.
But it just didn't work. It just didn't work. And I think while we were watching it, you said he kind of reminded you of Bubba from Chainsaw Massacre a little bit.
Yeah.
Like the guy's voice and how he's kind of this man-child who's berserk and...
Right.
Yeah.
Or split referring himself to Billy and all these things and then, like, you know, getting excited and panting around the women and...
Yeah, yeah. He's kind of, like, wearing people's skins a little bit, trying it out.
You could see that. Like, he would definitely like to wear
people. Puts lotion in the basket.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He was very creepy.
Yeah.
I think if you were to reboot this properly, you kind of, like, need to lean into that a little bit more. And get a little bit more of the backstory, maybe some urban legend behind that house.
Well, but see, here's the problem, though. Like, if you do that, you end up, like, shining a light on the boogeyman in the corner and making him less scary. Like, the more you know, the less scary. What is, you know...
It's kind of the Michael Myers problem,
right?
When,
like,
they gave
backstory. Yeah, like, oh, and it turns out this and this and then this, but he has this weakness and then there's this. And whereas right now, he is just some
random
creepy guy in an attic murdering people and hanging up their bodies and nobody can find him. Like... Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I think you have to
kind of like
really
a bearded guy in Maine driving
violence.
A Outback.
Yeah, right.
So, 2 cents synopsis.
2 cents synopsis.
Much like The Light of the Living Dead, this is a very simple movie. Like
it is. Yeah, it has a simple premise.
You know what? I'm gonna pull a Kevin. I can do it in one.
All right.
The call's coming from within the house.
Yeah.
That's
it. Get out, you dumb. Dumb woman.
Well, I do want to point out that it's pretty weak that the cops are like, boy, this went sideways. I can't believe all this. Should we check the rest of the house?
No.
No. No need. This is all buttoned up quite tightly.
Well, you know, I think it all just happened. They'll probably get there, but you're right.
They even left her and they're like, oh, she's been really traumatized. She needs to sleep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, he needs to die. Well, we'll all just vacate.
Sleep? In the room next to where her two best friends were brutally murdered,
right?
And blood spat, like it's a crime scene.
Oh yeah, and they're just gonna
it's
put
an
her
active
in bed.
Crime scene of just hours. But there's still blood on the bed.
And they're
in the night, like she's out cold. She'll be fine. We'll come back in
really
a couple
good,
hours.
That's a really good point too, because we know, like, and I can tell you that nowadays she would have just be taken to the hospital. She'd be evaluated. There'd be all sorts of things. She'd be in the hot. Like there'd be no way they would just leave her there or like let her hang out. So I wonder, but I don't know, like this was 1974.
Times have changed. Yeah.
You know, 1974, maybe that was like, yeah.
And the movies have kind of changed, is that now in the movie she'd go straight to the hospital then he'd be driving the van, you know.
Well, both of the movies we watched tonight, there was a real void of leadership, like, you know, from the police,
everywhere,
the city officials.
Everywhere.
I mean, I think that kind of lends itself to the horror that, like, no one's really in charge.
Well, and that's something no one really gave a fuck. That Nash just could not be bothered
Sergeant
with
Nash.
Any of this.
And, you know, they kind of gave her a reason, like, why would you follow Sergeant Nash's advice and go out the front door? He's Sergeant Nash. He sucks at
He's
everything.
He's the worst.
So I think
have
that,
you
that,
met him?
That leadership void is, like, a horrific element of both
of
these
movies.
That's
spot on. It's that's what allowed
this
That's
to something
happen.
That also gets perpetuated through the decades when, like, to modern movies, is that the cops are always...
Even Scream, Dewey. I mean, Dewey is not the best cop in the world.
Stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Although Dewey, as the movies progressed, really, you know...
He does, but the first one...
First one, he was just worthless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other 2 cents synopsis? Again, a super simple movie. Kind of hard to...
Yeah, it was.
Believe it's the person you think it is.
Just believe in yourself.
I really wish they just believed in themselves. Would you have your kids watch this?
I mean... If they were into wanting a horror movie on Halloween,
maybe,
and you were letting them watch rated R horror movies, like, and pick one. It could be this one, might not, whatever.
It's sort of tough because, you know, I didn't, like, there's some tension. It could be scary. Like, I think my kids could find something really terrifying in this and not want to be anywhere in the house or keep thinking that someone, like, the bad guy's in the attic and is going to come down and get them.
Hmm.
So I think this could be really scary. And then it could quickly flip to, like, this is really boring and stupid.
I think my kids would find it scary. They don't have the, you know, they haven't seen Scream and all that stuff. So for them, a lot of this would be the first time they've seen it.
I definitely think that I know my 9-year-old would be freaked out watching this. And definitely my 7-year-old. But I just wonder, like, I feel like there's the perfect little butter zone where, like, your kid will be freaked out, but not so freaked out they're going to be, like, kicking down your door every night.
Yeah. We have an attic hatch that looks a lot like that.
Yeah. A lot of houses do.
You know, we have the loft above the garage, and then our basement stairs definitely looks like someone lives underneath them, so.
Yeah. I think you're right, though. That's the thing is, like, if you alone in a house like that could potentially feel scared, this movie's going to work for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're too old for that, or we're too tired for that shit. Just too tired.
Well, you know, I think
dude, I'm 49.
I think part of it is just like, you know, I'm, you know, for me, like, I'm in the house by myself all the time.
Yeah.
And it's glorious.
Well, you know,
that's the best thing I can know.
I'm sure, and if I start like, hearing honestly, something weird or someone called on the like the landline, which I don't have, and started speaking dirty to me, I'd be like, well, I mean, normally I have to pay $5.99 for this, so, you know.
Yeah, it's
all right.
It lends itself to wonderful comedy sketches of like the creeper coming down the stairs and like, you know, just the really exhausted dad is downstairs and gets the call and you're like, uh-huh, yeah, okay, all right, you're going to kill me? Can you make it quick? I am so tired.
I guess that means I don't have to go to work tomorrow. Sweet.
Do I not have to potty train the two-year-old today? Awesome.
Yeah. Actually, the like alone in a house type stuff that would scare me was when my kids were little, like really little, and they'd come and they'd be like, Dad, there's somebody upstairs, when I'd know there wasn't supposed to be. Like, that would be scarier to me being alone in the house.
That's terrifying because, well, I think that's part of it too, is because what's your vulnerability? You alone in your house, mm-hmm. you're like, well, I'm, you know, worst case, I
that's
book it out of here.
The movie The Others with Nicole Kidman. Mm. Like, you know, the ghost in the house under the sheet and only the kid can see them, but then like actually they are the ghosts and you know. Mm-hmm.
You know, but as you know, saying that, like when you add the kids, because now there's like, well, you have to protect them, so you can no longer just either cut bait and run, you know, or because they're some of you, so like that would be pretty terrifying.
Question for you guys. What do you find more scary? The supernatural ghost type demon stuff, Necronomicon stuff, or this deranged killer?
Oh, the Necronomicon demon stuff, like haunted houses, ghosts, like demonic, like some, because you can't baseball bat a ghost, but you can baseball bat, you know, the fuck out of that guy creepy in the attic,
right?
Or use a fire poker,
right? Right. I mean, a lot of times those movies have jump scares. Like, this movie didn't have any jump scares. It was just atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I actually take a bit of a different take, that the deranged person thing is more scary just because of the connection to reality. Where,
well, yeah. Like, that's something,
you know,
that...
The alone in the house thing.
That's that triggering for people, like, for these sorority women, these are young women in a house where they think they're safe, and now something is in there creeping around. Like, I could definitely see that being more real and very scary. But again, that's why for me, like, I can't tackle, you know, a demonic house.
You know, like the first time you saw Scream, the Drew Barrymore sequence, when she started getting really freaked out on the phone in her kitchen, first time you saw that, that was good.
Yeah, but I think you kind of have to put yourself in the mind frame of a female character to really get the full impact of, like, creepy guy calling you while you're alone in a house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's just not something that's necessarily, like, us.
And they're describing what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta admit, though, if I'm sitting at home and someone says, like, hey, I'm like, I don't know you. And, like, that's okay. I like your kitchen. It looks really nice. What you eating? What? I'd be like, I know. I'm like, well, don't like this.
No. And I think it's 10 times worse if you're a woman.
Yeah. And I think that
tracks 100%.
Uh-huh. So, again, I think that's what makes this movie so good, is just that it does very little, or uses very little to have a big impact.
Yeah. And it never got sleazy with the sorority house or any of that stuff.
Right.
It
I was
really
waiting for
Margot
Kidder. I was just like, is this where, like, you know, post-Superman?
Although you did really have to enjoy Margot Kidder just being a dirty sailor, essentially.
She was, yeah.
She was just like, she was any port in the storm.
Yeah.
Which was hilarious to, like, just, it was awesome.
She was, yeah. Yeah. These are not, like, tame, you know,
no.
pushover.
And she did,
like,
Superman,
women.
Like, what, 2 years later? 76, 77?
That was something just 2 years.
Or 78.
Yeah, she was younger in this than in Superman.
Yeah, this is definitely pre-Superman.
Mm-hmm. Wow. But I think it makes sense, because they wanted Lois Lane to be, like, you know, this tough-as-nails female reporter.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No,
well, now
tracks.
We know what her college days were like.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, next week, gentlemen.
Right. We return to our non-Halloween special schedule with Baron von Mount. Munchausen?
Munchausen.
Munchausen. Right. I'll eventually learn how to pronounce that.
I'm so happy we're doing this one. And I'm partly because I'm as high on this movie as I was before Dark Crystal.
Oh, geez.
Well, there's nowhere to go but
down. I don't think I've ever seen this movie, but it might be one of those where like we start watching it, and I suddenly am like, I remember this. So that'd be cool. Mm-hmm.
You might.
I might.
It's much more kid-directed, in my memory of it, is... You know, it's from the mind of Terry Gilliam, so you know it's going to be way fucked up.
Yeah, I was like, this is not a ringing endorsement. From the mind of Steven Spielberg. Ooh.
Oh, come on. I like Terry Gilliam.
Well, we're going to find out.
Yeah, it's happening. All right.
All right, guys, fine. Be that way. We will see you guys next time. If you have an email question for us or a movie you'd like us to watch, dadsmovienight@gmail.com, and catch us on all the podcast stuff. So, you know.
If you're listening to us, then you did it.
Hooray. We did it. Thanks, Mom. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I can't let you do that, Dave.